Welcome. This is Michael Couch, president of Michael Couch and Associates. You're listening to my podcast series, Competing Through People. You know, we hear pundits and executives, expressing that old saw, our people are our most valuable asset. Well, I'm here to tell you that that's not the case. There's three reasons for that. First of all, not all positions in an organization are created equal. Second, not all employees have the same impact. And third, not all skills are created equal. So let me touch on each one of those. First of all, positions. Like I said, not all roles are created equal. Don't get me wrong. All jobs are important or we wouldn't have them, but not all roles are created equal. And let me give you an example. I was driving on the Pennsylvania Turnpike, and I saw a large truck, a tractor trailer, with a large sign on the trailer that said, our most valuable asset sits here. And there was a big arrow pointing at the truck driver. And that got me thinking. So I asked a client who runs a very significant trucking business, are your drivers your most valuable asset? He said, well, they can't have accidents. They need to be safe. They need to do the right things. But actually for us, our most valuable position are our logistics people. They're the ones who make us money. The drivers, there's just only a certain point. They just don't have to be bad. So investing more and more in better and better drivers is not the answer. I also read about an example of a colleague in research, a guy named Dr. John Boudreau, that he was doing the similar work at Disney World. And he asked an interesting question. What do you think is the most valuable position at Disney World? Is it the Disney characters that walk around in costume, or is it the street sweeper? Interestingly enough, for Disney World, the street sweeper is more valuable. The characters are like the truck drivers. They just really can't mess up. They have keepers that walk with them. They can't speak. They follow very, very specific guidelines. So you need good actors, but investing more and more and more in character talent, doesn't have an impact, but it does with street sweepers. Turns out street sweepers are very valuable. They, people come up to them and say, "Hey, what time is the noon parade? And where can I buy a camera?" And then the street sweepers know are trained to help in throughput, which is how Disney World makes money. Getting people as much money sucked out of your wallet in just the shortest period of time as possible. So here's the idea that, not all positions are created equal. Some positions are strategic. They are accountable for a strategic asset that is, drives the competitiveness of your business. Some are pivotal. And these are the positions that, based on their behavior and the work they do, have a direct impact on your bottom line. There's also a talent that might be scarce, that requires a skill that's rare in the talent pool, but it's very important for your business. And that's not all positions. So it's important, first of all, for any organization to know which positions are strategic, which positions are pivotal, and which are scarce. And that's the reason number one why people are not your company's most valuable asset. It's because not all positions are created equal. A second is, surprise, surprise, not all employees have the same impact. In the sense, not all employees have the same value as well. Let's take, for example, say in your organization, you had three employees. You had Elon Musk, you had Albert Einstein, and you had Milton Wadhams. Now, Milton Wadhams, if you enjoy quirky movies, was the employee in Office Space who end up burning down the company because they wouldn't let him have his favorite stapler. So in this case, if those were your three employees, would you view them as having the same value and impact? Well, somebody like Elon Musk is high potential, high performing, new ideas, pushing, entrepreneurial, willing to take risks. Albert Einstein was just brilliant. He was actually able to see the world differently than anybody else. And therefore could have a value to your business. And then Milton, we ought to just help him move on so he doesn't burn your company down. I saw a great example of this. I read an article by Robert Eustace, an interview with him. He is the senior VP of knowledge for Google in the Wall Street Journal. And his quote was that one top-notch engineer for Google can deliver 300 times or more the value of an average engineer. So here's the case again. Not all employees can have the same impact because of a variety of knowledge, skills, and abilities. So it really behooves any company to know your talent and to deploy it in a fashion that's going to create the most value. That means you have to have a valid and reliable method of assessing and identifying your talent, and then in deploying it. So for example, back to my three employee examples, Elon Musk, how would you deploy him? And Albert Einstein, how would you deploy him, and how would you know that they have these capabilities? Well, just by the experience and impact, you know, you would say Elon ought to be in our high risk positions. He ought to be leading in either our strategic or pivotal roles where it's going to have an immediate impact. And we found that when companies are able to do that, it makes a difference. Albert is a physicist of a different kind. He's very, very knowledgeable, obviously, and probably is his scarce talent. He has, if you need that kind of Albert Einstein knowledge, he's not only maybe could be in a pivotal role, but also maybe be a scarce talent that you would want to sustain his knowledge. You would really want to make sure he spreads his knowledge. He ought to be building his networks. He ought to be connecting with folks, but he may not be somebody to lead, and he may not aspire to lead. So what we see to be able to assess and to identify the talent that's going to have the biggest impact for you, you have to look at two pieces, performance and potential. And performance, it turns out, is not what we normally think of achieving objectives and the kind of things. The top performing leaders really contribute to the success of others and really align what they do, not only with business goals, but with the work of others. So it's alignment and contribution. The other thing we see with high performing, high potential folks is that potential side. These folks typically aspire for more. They're always looking to develop, to try something new. And they're also agile, learning agility in the field. And that's the ability to learn from experience and apply what you've learned in new and novel situations. Interestingly enough, during the pandemic crisis that we are currently facing at this podcast, talking with leaders who have worked on building potential and building agility in their leadership teams are making a difference. I had a CEO who said, if we hadn't been working on this for the last 3 or 4 years of building the capacity of my leadership team, we wouldn't be able to address the current situation as well as we are. So not all positions are created equal, and not all employees have the same impact. The third reason is what we find is not all skills are created equal. Just was looking at some global research that has shown that you can explain up to 40 or 60% of leadership performance if you understand and look at the strategy critical competencies that leaders have. So that means if you can identify and build the right skills, you can build a high-performing culture that'll drive results. Now, how do you identify those competencies? Well, from our standpoint, our approach, we always start from strategy. Our whole approach to leadership is called strategy-driven leadership development. Our whole approach to building organization capabilities called strategy-driven organization development. And we found that if you can do a good job of translating strategy to knowledge, skills, and abilities of your leaders, that's what we refer to as competencies, you'll drive alignment, you'll drive performance, you'll also drive the creation of a high-performing culture. What we now know from the research is that culture is a leading indicator of market share, of sales growth, of productivity, of profits, of innovation, customer satisfaction. So if you can get the competencies right, you can get your culture right, and you can drive the results that are critical for the business. In my own research that I conducted in collaboration with the Pittsburgh Human Resource Association and the Pittsburgh Technology Council, we showed that companies who have done a good job of identifying and aligning their competencies with their business strategy, companies that were able to do that were much higher performing in terms of revenue and profits than those who lacked that capacity. As you've seen, there's three reasons now why people are not your most valuable asset. What is really the case is that the right people in the right roles with the right skills are your company's most valuable asset. You've been listening to Competing Through People with your host, Michael Couch. You can learn more about me and the work that I do at my website, www.mcassociatesinc.com.